From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. With an investigation brewing, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson backs out of being the nominee for Commerce Secretary. Will this slow down the package for the stimulus? There's a small silver lining in the dark economic forecast. October was one of the worst months for housing prices, but there's good news. The stock market rallied last week and new unemployment claims actually decreased. Author and economist Dr. Julianne Malveaux is here to give us her wisdom on the state of the economy. She's the president of Bennett College. Hi, Dr. Malveaux.
Hi, Farai. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. So let's parse out New Mexico Governor Richardson first. I mean, when we talk about the Commerce Secretary, what are we really talking about in terms of the position and what it would bring to the administration?
The Commerce Secretary is a person who promotes the health of U.S. businesses, especially small and medium-sized businesses, but all businesses. It's not the most critical position in the cabinet at all. Treasury is going to be far more involved in economic stimulus. Council of Economic Advisors is going to be far more engaged there. And, of course, we have Larry Summers as the advisor to the president on the economy. So the commerce person, chambers of commerce, those are their kind of constituencies. It's not a huge loss, but it is a setback. I don't think it slows down the stimulus, but it is a setback for the Obama team. The challenge here for Rye is that this investigation on Richardson, it's one of your basic investigations. Someone gave him $100,000 to various campaign committees, and then they got a contract for about $1.3 million, and the question is whether or not the governor was involved. But that investigation has been going on since the summer. So I'm surprised, given how thorough the Obama team has been, that this is something that's still, you know, that they hadn't vetted before.
People are asking if this is going to affect the overall transition, because the Obama team is widely credited by both sides of the aisle for being nonpartisan to a great extent in its picks, to picking people with experience. Is this going to derail some of the momentum that the Obama team has, especially as they're looking to make sure that there's a stimulus package in place?
I really don't think so. Again, I think that this was not the most important of the cabinet positions. I think there are others who carry on the economic work. I do think that this is a position he now needs to fill quickly. And certainly it undermines this notion of the team of rivals. You know, he has Hillary Clinton. He had Bill Richardson. These are people who had read against him in the primaries. And so that was, and of course, Richardson is Latino, and that, you know, helps with some balance and diversity issues as well. So I don't think he's going to find another Bill Richardson, but I would posit that there are lots of folk, and I'm sure they had a short list, who could well fill this position. It has to miss a half step, but it really doesn't. It's not the end of the world.
So Mr. Obama's heading to the Hill today to try to sell his version of the stimulus package. What do we know about what he wants?
He wants to create jobs, and, you know, there are many, myself included, who argue that he could be more aggressive about that. Most recently, we learned that he also wants to cut some taxes as a way to reach out to the Republicans on the other side of the aisle. He wants to do infrastructure development, which is very important. Again, that's one of the issues that I think is dicey for some of us, especially women, because infrastructure tends to hire men, especially white men, union men, and it doesn't really deal with some of the women's issues. But he wants to get some money pumping in the economy. As we look at the iteration after iteration, I think they're up to about $800 billion. And before it's over with, it might get to $1 trillion. And that's not a bad thing. It's bad from a deficit perspective, but it's not bad from the perspective of this economy is really floundering, and something needs to happen to jumpstart it. I mean, my encouragement, and I think many others, has always been think outside the box. So you don't want to just do stimulus as usual. You really want to do something that's just really impactful.
Let's run through a couple of the other indicators in this economy. You know, you've got the Dow Jones Index, which is this stock market index that got as high as 14,000 points. And now people are happy to see it cross the 9,000 barrier, which it did three times last week. Today, it seems shaky. So what are things looking like stock market-wise?
The stock market is not going to cross 10,000 in this first quarter of the new year. The 9,000, as you said, was shaky, but people were happy to see it, and it was in part because of the stimulus that Chrysler was being offered, in part because of anticipation. The stock market is an art as much as it is a science. So people's anticipations, people's expectations have to be factored in as well. And I think that what you're seeing with the fluctuations from last week and from today so far are that people aren't sure where the market is going, and so they're people who have money to invest are holding on to it, and we're going to see that for a little while. I think the more quickly the Obama team is able to get a stimulus package together, the more likely we're going to be able to see some legs on the stock market. But I would not be surprised if we sort of basically floundered between 8,800 and 9,500 in the next couple of months.
And we've talked a lot about how this affects people's retirement plans. From what you're hearing informally, have most people made any changes in their retirement plans, or they're just like, you know what, I don't know what to do, let me just leave this alone?
It really depends on their age, and basically their course of action should depend on their age. If they're 30, 40, 50, you know, the market's going to come back eventually. Don't worry about it. If you're 60 to 70, it has an immediate impact. If you were going to retire next week, Farai, you're going to get a lot less money than you would have if you retired a year ago. And those are the retirees who are looking at changes, talking to their financial advisors, trying to figure out what and how they can recoup at least something. You know, their 401ks are down, 40%.
So speaking of jobs and, you know, all the benefits that come with them, there are so many people who signed up for unemployment benefits, and the numbers of unemployed folks were at the highest since 1982. Last week, the numbers went down. Why do we think that is?
Part of it is a seasonal adjustment. Part of it is people who have been unemployed coming back into the labor market, dropping out. The unemployment numbers don't look any better, but the unemployment claims are down partially because there are fewer people who can claim. In other words, you can't even file a claim unless you've worked 26 weeks. So say you worked, you came back into the labor market, and you had a 10-week job. You don't qualify for unemployment insurance, although you'll still show up in the unemployment numbers.
What kind of safety nets exist once you don't qualify for unemployment?
There really are none. I mean, there are, if you are, social services, if you're at the bottom of the poor, you know, you have some dollars for people who have been homeless. It's very little money. But there are some social service dollars out there still, not very much. Food stamps are out there for people who are very poor as well. But once you don't qualify for unemployment, there just really isn't a lot out there for you. We've got people who are really in a position where they have nothing, where there's no help, there's no government help. They're relying on their families and friends. These are the people who are losing their homes, who are being evicted from their apartments, who didn't have much of a holiday season, who are still pinching pennies.
We're going to talk shortly after our break with a gentleman who was kind enough to come on and tell us about his job search. And so we're going to talk more about job searches in a moment. But overall, can you give us a picture of what to do right now? Although we're out of the holiday season, technically, a lot of businesses don't seem to be they don't seem to have fully taken stock of their situation. They seem reluctant to hire. Is that what you've seen?
Absolutely. And for right, some of the people who are really affected are people who are consultants, freelancers, and others. I have a couple of colleagues who said to me, every piece of work I had for the month of January has been canceled. So they, you know, a lot of organizations, universities, and others have freezes on discretionary spending. And what that really means is that the people who work with them are frozen from work that they might well do. So we're seeing lots of people who are really up in the air about what to do. The good news is hopefully it's a 1 or 2 month thing and that they have the resources, the savings, or something to maintain. But the bad news is that people who expected to be working are not working right now. So in addition to the numbers that we capture that 2.5 million jobs that we've lost in the past year. People who are self-employed and others, it doesn't really show up, but it shows up in terms of their ability to spend, their income, their flexibility. And so we have lots of Americans who are really distressed right now, and there really is not a lot for them. We don't do anything for self-employed people. If your business isn't going well, your business isn't going well. And we've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who are in that position.
What do you see ahead in terms of trends for employment in the sense of how many people do you think will, I mean, do you think that overall people will try to leave the freelance economy and go to, 9-to-5 jobs? And if so, is there going to be anything opening up?
Well, you do see a bit of that as well, and it's very interesting to see. We have a couple of job searches open at Bennett, and we've got a couple people who, you know, they've been outside by all accounts. If you looked at them on paper, they look very successful, and they're like, I need to come inside. You know, they want right. to come inside because they want the security of a regular paycheck, which is something that, you know, a year ago they just didn't think was something that was that important for them. So I do think that the good news for employers is that you're going to get a better pool of people looking for work. You're going to be able to afford people who are far more qualified than the people that you were looking at for the same jobs a year ago. The bad news for people is that someone who was making, you know, six figures in a consulting gig is probably now willing to settle for a bit less, and it has an implication on everything they do in terms of, you know, their spending and all of that. So we're in a place where, you know, those who have cash, those who can hire, those who can spend, are really in the catbird seat. But those who do not have cash are being forced to make compromises that they may well be uncomfortable with.
Just quickly, how important are benefits packages to workers these days? Are people looking for cash when they have the option of taking a job, or also at benefits?
They're looking for benefits as well. The whole health insurance thing is very big for a lot of people, especially for people who have been outside, especially as they age and as they have children and as they have other things where they really want that health insurance package. I think that pensions are a little bit less important for people, but a lot of people are asking about the health insurance, are concerned about the health insurance, and are willing to make some compromises to make sure they can get on a good health insurance plan.
Well, Dr. Malvo, stay with us. Thank you so much for agreeing to do so. And we're going to talk to John Smith in a second. He's been out of work since September. We're also going to ask if the new year will bring him new opportunities as well as other folks. Plus, ask what's driving the homicide rate up for black male teenagers. Our bloggers will tackle that one.